Hey everyone, it's Jonathan, and welcome to a podcast that I guess is a new series, but I've done a few like this before. I'm just now deciding to give it a name, the Disney TV Marathon. Today we're talking about Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. This is the third Disney Junior show I've talked about this year, and that was not planned at all. This one came about because in my discussions on Jake and the Neverland Pirates and Alice's Wonderland Bakery, this show, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, kept coming up. As someone who grew up mostly on 90s PBS, the format of the show is very different than anything I watched as a kid, so I wondered what kids these days actually thought about it. However, the show is actually a bit older than I thought, so much so that I was shocked to learn there are adults today who grew up watching this show. Way to make myself feel ancient. And my friend Carmen is one of those adults, so I was like, I need to talk to her about this. And at the same time I was discovering that, I also discovered there was an Alice in Wonderland themed special, and since I'm trying to get through all the Disney Wonderland stuff this year, I knew we had to talk about that as well. So I asked Jenna to join us, not only because she's a Wonderland expert, but also because she also loves children's media, and had watched a lot of the show as well. So something I never really considered for a podcast somehow turned into a really fun hour and a half conversation. So this one was not, like, I was not ever planning on making a podcast about Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, but it has come up more than once in the past, I don't know, 6 months or so, recording various episodes. And then when I found out Carmen grew up with it, I was like, okay, maybe this should be a thing.
I think you brought it up too, like, when we were talking about Alice's Wonderland Bakery as well.
Yes, that was one of the times. I also was talking about it with Stanford because we did a shorter episode on Jake and the Neverland Pirates. And I think all of us were just kind of wondering what it might have been, like how kids perceive this type of show. Because at least for me, it's very different to the types of shows I grew up with. Because I grew up with mostly PBS, because we didn't have cable. And until I was almost a teenager, we didn't know that we could get anything more than just ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS. And then we found out there was some other channels that either became available or we just didn't know they were there. So I grew up with very little kids shows. Most of the stuff we watched was PBS. So this is very different to what I grew up with.
So does that mean Sesame Street?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, Sesame Street is the best one of them all. So who really won here?
Yeah, well, I still kind of feel that way. That and Mr. Rogers, I do have nostalgia for.
Another good one.
Seems like such a nice person. Mm-hmm. But I didn't grow up with any shows that were like the main characters talk directly to the audience. Like, at least I don't think so. Like, they ask them questions and pause and wait for them to answer. And I don't remember if I was this was part of the conversation with you, Jenna, or with Stanford, but we were like, do kids do that? Like, do the kids watching actually talk back to the TV?
They do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, in fact, I know Carmen grew up with Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, but it aired when I would babysit a first cousin once removed. She was the right age for it. And yeah, she totally talked to TV, and I talked to it with her because that's what you have to do. It became muscle memory to a point where I remember I was in high school and my biology teacher had a child the same age. And sometimes she would say something and I would respond back in muscle memory. Also other shows as well as Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. The thing off top of my head right now is Little Einsteins. Like we're going on a trip and I went, in our favorite rocket ship, and she's like, yeah, and everyone else was like, what are you two doing? You know,
that became a meme?
Is it a meme now? Yeah, it was. Well,
several years ago it was a meme. Like, I don't even know what it was. It was that clip. Like, I've never seen Little Einsteins. I don't know anyone who did watch that. It was so far beyond me or any of the kids I babysat. I think it's too recent for me to even have ever seen it. But I know that became a meme sometime within the last 10-ish years, I guess. I don't know. Where they would play that clip.
2009-ish.
I think it was
Yeah.
like the theme song of it that became a meme, but I
That's a
know
good theme.
somewhere in my closet is like little plush dolls of like the main characters. They're somewhere. But it
Yeah.
was like, I don't remember when it aired, but it did definitely air to where my parents put it on thinking that it would make me a smarter kid. So.
Well, I remember later than my childhood, but like probably when I was a teenager, there was a show called Baby Einstein, but I think that was videotapes, and that was something different, I think.
Yeah, that
I
was
think
different.
so.
But yeah, there was like this. And we're getting off topic here. That's a little Einstein. It's not Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. But my point stands. Like it because yeah, the kids talk to the TVs. You talk to the TVs with them because you have to support them. And you do it so much to the point that it becomes muscle memory for both you and the kids. So yeah, and I'd actually say in child development, like it's actually kind of important to get kids to respond to things like that. So it's good for child development wise as well.
The way the episodes played out, it reminded me of like computer games, probably computer games that I was too old to play, but I had younger brothers, and it was, I think we got our first computer when I was 12, but we got like a pack of different educational games and we all played them. But it reminded me of that type of thing, especially like with the way the CGI was, because it didn't seem as polished as I was expecting. This is also earlier than I was expecting. I don't know why I thought Mickey Mouse Clubhouse was some more recent than 2006. I was surprised when I saw that.
You might be confusing it because they just did an announcement for the new one.
I just saw something online when I was researching for this. They were like making a new Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, but
Yeah, 2025.
I was thinking it was like mid-20 teens, I guess. I don't know. I didn't realize it was 2006, but the CGI was more rudimentary than I was expecting. Like, it's not bad, but there's very few textures.
Yeah, it's more rough.
Yeah, it's a little plasticky looking.
It's not my favorite CGI about it, yeah.
That's part of why it reminded me of a video game.
Yeah, this is funny because I actually thought it was actually better than I was expecting. I totally expected my nostalgia to ruin this, and I go back in being like, wow, it's awful. But I think I've just seen like a lot of like modern like kid shows, and now there's like YouTube Kids and stuff like that. So I've seen like a lot of terrible like 3D
CGI.
animated kids shows. So
Yeah.
at least with Mickey, you could tell they're trying, especially with like the emotions. Like, I really enjoyed all the exaggerated emotions in the show.
I have to tell you, now that we talked about it, I need to look up because when I was a kid, I remember a CGI show called Roly Poly Oly, and I think that must look monstrous. Now I have to go look that up.
I don't think I ever saw that one, but I remember when I was a kid, maybe before, well, I don't know what year it was, but my uncle had cable and he would just put in a tape and hit record when he went to bed, so we'd get like all of everything that played on Disney overnight.
That's nice.
So it was like all the old movies and stuff, but there was always commercials for Roly Poly Oly,
Yeah.
and that's all I saw of it, was just the commercials that happened during that time. So I've never seen Roly Poly Oly. I would assume it probably looks a little bit worse than this, but I don't know.
I assume. And then, oh, I just saw a show that I watched as a kid that did have the call and response. Blue's Clues was the really big one when I was a kid.
I know that's another one I've never seen, but I know was popular on cable.
Yeah.
Probably a little after I would have been old enough to watch it, because I don't think
That is,
if
yeah,
it had
that is
targeted
the
my
thing with
age,
these
we would have
kind of
watched it with my
shows.
grandparents.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of hard to watch as an adult by yourself without a kid. It's so much more fun with a kid.
Yeah.
Otherwise, or Dora the Explorer is another popular one. You know, oh, what? Do you see where something is? And it's like, yeah. It's very sense of having seen the world and having to, just be like, stop looking at me. I'm here for escape. Anyway, I'm interested to hear more from you, Carmen, since you grew up with the show, which is nuts to me. I'm old now.
I know that's another reason that I wanted to do this, is because it kind of blew my, like I said, I thought this was later than 2006, but even still, when we were talking about this, when we did our Alice's Wonderland Bakery and when Stanford and I were talking about it, it never even crossed my mind that someone could be an adult now and grew up watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. That didn't even cross my
Yep.
mind. And then when I found out Carmen did, I was like, okay, I think we should talk about this.
So it started airing in 2006, so I would have been 3. I was a 2003 baby. But I remember the old days of the Disney like Playhouse Channel or something like
Playhouse
that
Disney.
before Playhouse Disney, before they rebranded into Disney Junior.
I liked Playhouse Disney way more than Disney Junior,
I thought it was like
especially Hot
more
Teeth.
playful, like the
Yeah.
logo and the
Yeah, they
colors
had
before
like
they
that
switched
clay
it.
thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss it. They used to, I think I even have a picture like with Handy Manny, which was from like a different show. And when I went to Disney World, when I was like, I think I was like seven, 6 or 7. And that's like when Playhouse Disney was still a thing. And they had like a whole Playhouse Disney like little house where you could go in and meet some of the characters. So that picture is timeless now since that channel. And I'm assuming that space like has gotten rebranded.
They probably still have some space because I know here we have a Disney Junior like dance party thing at Disneyland. I'm sure they still have something over there.
Most likely, but probably not with Playhouse Disney logo on it.
Oh no, it's probably Disney Junior. So in your experience as a child and now as an adult, how did Mickey Mouse Clubhouse compare to the other shows of Playhouse Disney?
Let's see. I would be watching Mickey Mouse, Little Einsteins, Handy Manny, and then of course I would watch like I would also watch PBS and then Nick Jr. But I do remember Mickey Mouse Clubhouse being the one that I would always ask my parents to record and then like keep the recordings because I would just like rewatch them and rewatch them. It was definitely a favorite because like my parents ended up collecting all of like the plushes from like that series, like all of the characters because I was like so in love with the show. And I'm trying to like dig like deep down, but I think like that show was like the first show that kind of introduced me to Mickey. And I think after that is when my parents started buying me the like old Mickey cartoons and like the Mickey like Christmas specials, because I have a few of those on DVD as well. So
My
yeah, it was like my
nephews
first
love those.
introduction. Yeah, it's so they're so good.
I'm trying to remember what my favorite show was at the time airing on Playhouse Disney. I think it was Big Bear in the Blue House. I don't know if that's too old for you.
Probably, so I've never heard of that one.
That
All
was another one I remember commercials for, but I never saw because we didn't have Disney right, so it
Channel.
must have been like, it must have aired together for like 1 year. Yeah, but it's interesting. To me, it's kind of wild to be like, oh, it's your first exposure to Mickey Mouse, because for me, it's not obviously if being older, but I didn't have that's the kind of unique thing about Mickey Mouse Clubhouse was that for older generations, we didn't have Mickey Mouse in a children's show like this. We saw more in like shorts and trying to think maybe movies like we didn't have them in a consistent like show like this, and so that's kind of cool for you guys, I guess. Yeah, I also thought it was kind of honorary iteration of the Mickey Mouse Club, probably a little bit better than the Mickey Mouse Club in my opinion. But yeah.
For me, we're growing up, my introduction to Mickey Mouse was borrowing the VHS tapes of the old cartoons from the library.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to be introduced to Mickey Mouse.
That's the only way I would have ever seen it. I don't think there was any other way that I could have at the time.
Toys and toys.
I did have a
But
Mickey Mouse toy from a McDonald's Happy Meal.
yeah.
I think I had a Mickey and a Minnie from like a around the world thing, because I feel like Mickey was wearing like an Uncle Sam costume and Minnie was wearing a kimono, and I think they were from the same line of like a around the world Happy Meal. I don't know. That was my main Mickey Mouse toys that I had as a kid.
I was actually thinking about it. I was exposed to Minnie before I was to Mickey, really, because when I was a kid, early 90s, we had she had the totally, no, not totally. I think it was called the Minnie and Me line or something. It was like Minnie as a child for like 90s girls. It was very, very cute. But yeah, I didn't really have exposure to Mickey really, except for like I knew who Minnie was first. But yeah, so I think Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is a good exposure of Mickey for kids. You got to start with the brainwashing young, and
Oh, absolutely.
the earlier you do it, the easier it is for them. And it, I can prove it worked because in Toontown, in the remodeled Toontown, they have the new music loop, and it includes all sorts of classics. Of course, it includes the original Mickey Mouse Club theme, includes like stuff from a Goofy movie. It includes the DuckTales theme song, yeah. But the two songs that get pe like the other songs people don't sing to them, the two songs that get people actually singing is Mickey Mouse Clubhouse theme song and Hot Dog. Those are
Somehow I
the
knew you
two
were going to
tracks.
say hot dog.
Yeah, the Hot Dog
The hot
song.
dog dance is
Yeah.
iconic.
And I'm like, it is very interesting to me that because the whole music loop does feature like popular music associated with those cartoon characters, but those are the ones that actually get people singing, usually without them noticing that they're singing too. And I'm like, it's the brainwashing. It worked.
Part of it, I don't know how much they did, but part of the music was done by They Might Be Giants, who do very catchy music. So that might be part of it. I don't know if they did the hot dog song, but I think they did the theme song.
It's the music in this show is iconic. It's very, very good. And
I thought I was going to be annoyed by the music, and I was not. So that says something.
I mean, that said though, I do think the Mouska tool, whatever, is not that great as compared to the other two recurring songs.
Not as memorable.
Yeah. Well, I mean the oh, Mouska tools, that part's memorable, but the rest of it's kinda eh. I know the show worked. And getting people to like Mickey, and obviously they're very fond of it, the show still.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with like the Mouska Tool song is definitely the one that I actually forgot about because it's like you hear like the hot dog song in the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse theme like a bunch everywhere. Like even when there was a Disney store in my like nearby mall before they all like shut down on that like TV that they have in the back, like I would hear like the hot dog song or something. So when I was rewatching it, I had actually like forgotten that there was a little song that they would sing when Toodles would like give them the tools. So.
Yeah, I think part of it is Hot Dog is a more fun song than the Mouska Tool song, whatever that's called. Just because, one, it's weird. Like obviously the choice between Hot Dog is an historic choice because it was used a lot in the Mickey Mouse shorts, way back then, because that was slang at the time.
I just looked it up. They Might Be Giants did do that. And the hot dog was written because that was his first spoken words in the 1929 short, The Carnival Kid. So that's where that came from.
So it's like it's a historic choice to make a song about if you know Mickey Mouse lore. If you don't, it sounds bizarre. And I remember actually like watching it with my cousin, and an adult would say, "Why are they talking about hot dogs?" But so already for most people who don't know why, it comes off as strange and it catches their attention. But then it's just fun, like it's stupid and fun, and so yeah, I think that's part of why that song has gotten popular outside just the realms of the show itself. Some songs achieve greatness, and I would say Hot Dog has.
It has achieved greatness.
It is very catchy.
And then the silly dances are also great as well. But yeah, and then for the theme song, I always enjoy how, like spelling out Mickey Mouse is kind of like a cliche for Mickey now. But it's always interesting the many different ways you could do it. And I think they did a very good job at finding their own kind of like going with the tradition, but also finding their own way of doing it, if that makes sense. It's not like the MICKEY MOUSE. It's MICKEY. You know, like they do their own thing, and I think that works out for them.
Well, Carmen had suggested that we talk about Toodles, specifically Happy Birthday Toodles. And I'd already had some thoughts about him, and then she suggested that one because my first thought was I'll watch the first and last episodes just to get a flavor of the show because I'd never seen it. And like with the first episode, I just thought this was some sort of a clock mouse head device thing that holds his
It's
tools.
the Alexa of the Mickey Mouse world.
I didn't realize it was a character. Like, it has a name, Toodles, of course, but it didn't strike me as a character. And then in the last episode, it had a face. I was like, well, that's interesting. And then not long after I started watching that, Carmen texted about talking about watching Happy Birthday Toodles because that's when he gets a face. And I was like, okay, so they do address this change.
So the thing
So.
is, I st like I my cousin moved away at some point, and I think it was before this happened. So I was no longer babysitting when that episode premiered of Happy Birthday Turtles. So I was, Jonathan said, "Oh, Carmen recommended this one," so I watched it, and I was like, "What the heck? Like, Turtles is sentient, you know?"
Yes. Yes.
I literally never picked up on Toodles being sentient beforehand, ever. So I was shocked.
Oh, Toodles. This is so funny because when I was a kid, they advertised the heck out of this Toodles birthday episode. And I remember they teased him getting a face. And, you know, I wasn't that old, but young me had some opinions about my favorite clock, Toodles, getting a face. Because, like, I was pretty attached to, like, the Toodles that I had, like, run with for, like, like 2.5 seasons. So for them to be like, oh, we're gonna give him a face and he's gonna like speak a little bit. Like I was conflicted because I don't know if I thought this as like a kid, but when I was watching it, I like how they managed to give Toodles like sort of a personality even before he gets a face. Cause like I watched some of season two and they're very expressive with how they animate him.
Yeah, they got better at animating him like he had personality later, because I noticed that in the other episode we watched. I agree, yeah.
Yeah, so I watched one episode of season four and then one of the season like five or whatever Disney Plus has organized them into. He doesn't talk that much, which I'm grateful for because like personally I think the voice they gave him is a little annoying. And if he
Same.
started talking too much, I think it would have caused me to like not watch further.
And apparently now there's kind of like multiple Toodles,
Yeah,
apparently.
there's a female. Koodle. Koodles?
Toodles, which I don't
Something like that.
understand. Yeah,
Well,
I
in the
don't
final
understand.
episode, there was one named Goofles, who was
Yeah.
supposed to be
What?
Go his cousin.
And there's Woodles. I don't remember what that one is, but a bunch of one-off ones apparently. Because I
So
looked it
this
up
is
on the
just a
wiki
race
page.
of sentient clock people.
Yeah, like they say in the birthday episode that that Toodles was invented by
Louis von Grieg.
yeah. So when they started, because like I kind of vaguely remember a few of them, so when they started introducing more, it kind of was like meh, and it didn't stick with me. Like the only one that ended up sticking with me was like Koodles, and that's just because like she had a bow and she was pink and she was Minnie's, but all the other ones didn't really matter to me.
Yeah, I was curious enough to look it up on the wiki, the Disney wiki, which is very detailed oriented on there. Yeah, so I saw all the different ones. Koodles is apparently the only other one that appeared in more than one episode. The others were just one-offs. Also, apparently Koodles likes Toodles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
What's
of
so it's like
course.
you're telling me that the Alexas of the Disney universe have crushes?
Yep.
Yes, they do. But they only go off who their influences crushes, apparently. Like how the Jonathan's laughing about this.
It's there's so many things with this that never have crossed my mind, and a lot, and like I took everything kind of at face value, even him getting a face in the last episode. I was like, okay, well, I guess that was a choice. But then when I watched this Happy Birthday Toodles episode, I started questioning everything.
You can't. And that's the pitfall you fall into. Don't.
To be honest, yeah, I started thinking about like, oh, they haven't treated Toodles very well in the first two seasons, then, have they?
When I watched it, it brought back a lot of memories. And when he got a face, I remember like I was watching it and I was like, okay, so he just got a face. Like he just grew it. Like in the middle of the episode, you would think that would be something they would save to like the end of it to be like, oh,
Yeah.
Toodles has a face now. But no, just like in the middle of it, he just grows a face and everyone's like, oh wow. But then he just leaves and they're like, all right, back to birthday planning. And I'm like, well, if my Alexa suddenly gained a face, I think I would have some questions for it. I don't know. It was just funny how like there was no explanation. He has a face now. Everyone's like, that's nice, Toodles. Back to trying to plan a surprise birthday party, which by the way, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse has so many birthday episodes and they're
I
all
wondered
about
that,
surprises. All about surprises. There is not one birthday where someone knows that their friends remembered. I swear to you, they are all surprise parties.
which is funny because in reality, surprise parties are not a good idea.
No, they're not. Like
Yeah.
I grew up thinking they were a good idea until my mom was like, "No, don't do that to your friends."
Yeah, same. Like now I would be so upset if none of my friends said happy birthday or cared about what I was doing. I would be, I've read so much Reddit drama about that happening. But kids shows love surprise birthday parties, and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse apparently absolutely loves it. We ironically chose two surprise party episodes. I don't know how we did that, we just did. And I would say Happy Birthday Toodles was the better surprise party episode, at least. So there's that.
Yeah.
They actually go, it's more involved that they plan the party. But I was questioning the whole time because I was like, okay, so now it's like undeniably Toodles is sentient. You could see the expressions on their face. And whenever they do the, oh, don't tell Toodles, though, which, I'm kind of like, I don't know, 'cause not a great message to give kids, I think, but whatever. Don't
Lie
tell
to your
Toodles I'm doing
friends.
this. Yeah, lie to your friends. Lying is complicated. But anyway, and then you see Toodles' face kind of like, I don't know if necessarily look sad, but very doubting and unsure.
He always looked confused, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, like,
Yeah.
and I was like, oh, you guys are like really toeing the line here. Because now you can't be like, oh, it's fine. Toodles is fine about it. Like, now you kind of see, like, Toodles is like, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't feel great about it. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I like this.
Don't watch any of the other birthday episodes
Yeah.
then. I'm telling you, I do remember there was an episode as a kid, and I can't remember whose birthday it was, but they towed this poor character along for the whole day thinking they forgot about their birthday. And I'm pretty sure whoever it was cried at the end of the episode. I would have to like go back,
No.
but as I'm scrolling through the seasons, I see that like almost every character like has a birthday episode, even Mickey, and I like in like the caption it says surprise party and I'm like, well, whoever wrote this just really wants a surprise party
Kids
and they're
love
letting you
surprise party. Kids
know.
love surprises, weirdly. You ever think about like there was that whole surprise trend in toys? I don't know if it's still ongoing where like it's basically a blind box as a toy.
Oh
They
yeah.
don't know what they're gonna get. Yeah. It's like, and I'm like, I don't, what? I don't understand. I wouldn't have liked that as a kid.
It's like, I don't think a kid would like it if they're like towed along for the entire day with them being led to believe nobody cares about their birthday.
Yeah.
Well, I said that when I went back to watch Happy Birthday Toodles, I started questioning everything. And once it became known that he's like a character, like I didn't think of it before, but like how does he know exactly what they need? Like he comes up with the three tools and then the surprise tool.
I don't think he does. Doesn't the mouse go? He like kind of downloads it from somewhere.
Oh
He gets
yeah.
it from the mouse go doer thing that when they sing the song, like the I don't know, like the central thing. Carmen, you're the expert.
Yeah, the hub, the weird shaped TV. I always thought
Yeah.
Toodles just like plugged himself into it and then he was
He
like
does, yeah. I
projecting
thought he was
to
a part of
it.
it. I thought he was just like a
Right.
screen, like an iPad that you pull out of it and could take with you.
He
Think
essentially like downloads
the whole clubhouse is like a smart house, you know. They have the handy helpers and Toodles and
Well, those
that
hands too, I
screen.
thought they were part of him. Like I thought that he was
No,
all
I
one big
thought that was
device.
separate.
And then in the episode they're like talking about surprising him, but then they're interacting with the hands, and I was like, wait, those aren't part of him?
The hands. Okay, so I watched season 2, episode 3, which was a favorite of mine as a kid because I also had all these questions, like how did this clubhouse work and all of that stuff. So in that episode, the handy helpers break. And they have to go down into the workings of the clubhouse to fix it. So that's when like you kind of learn like how they operate. And yes, they're machines, but they're machines with a brain. Because when Mickey fixes them, they make him a little card with a heart as like a thank you for fixing them. So I'm like, these things can think. They anticipate what you need. I'm like, this is a little scary.
The handy
I know they need a birthday.
have a birthday. Where is their surprise party?
And what I also found funny in that episode, so the handy helpers always open the door for Mickey. And
Yeah.
in that episode when they break, Mickey has to open the door and Minnie's like, "What's wrong, Mickey? You answered your own door." And I was like, "Man, Mickey, you're so privileged because he would answer the
Lazy,
door."
yeah, Mickey. I thought you were supposed to be nice and personable.
Yeah.
Just like I got used to things opening instead of me having to do work. Great.
Well, another thing that this brought up to me, I did not think of it until towards the end of the Happy Birthday Toodles episode. I suddenly remembered, like, this clubhouse sort of doesn't exist. Like, they have to bring it into existence by chanting these words at the beginning and then it disappears at the end. I was like,
Yeah.
so does Toodles cease to exist when the clubhouse disappears? But then he left with them. So I was like, does he always leave with them? And then I watched an earlier episode again because I saw one that said that they went to Mars, and I was like, what? They go to Mars? So I watched that, and then he didn't leave with them at the end of that. So I was like, what happens to Toodles when the clubhouse disappears?
They go to Wonderland.
Mm
It just like sinks down into the ground, into the like the basement level to Wonderland. That's what I think.
I, as a kid, I never understood why they had to leave the clubhouse. Like, I was like, they're walking off into the forest. Where are they going? Like, and then I don't know. As a kid, I literally never knew. But rewatching it, I was like, well, okay, this is a clubhouse, so maybe this is just a day thing. They like all commute out from wherever they live by walking to hang out with Mickey at his clubhouse. But I'm like, this is a nice setup. Why would you just leave it after hanging out here for like the day? Like, just live there.
Well, yeah, that's the question, isn't it? Because personally, I like that my clubhouses exist when I'm not there. And I don't understand why it has to go away. It'd make more sense if it was a, like, they had to use the field for something, or it was a secret for some reason. I guess it's just because the secrets are fun. Is that it? I guess that's a very kid way of thinking, huh?
I don't
Yeah,
know.
probably.
I want a secret clubhouse.
I mean, as a kid, I just was like, where are they going? You know, like,
Yeah.
you're just gonna walk home.
I love that you thought of that as a kid. That sounds like
I
something I would think of as an adult, overthinking everything.
I'm telling you, something was wrong with me from like a young age where I was questioning the logic of these shows that should not have had logic questioned. Like, even when I would watch other shows, like ones that would like Dora or something, I'd be like, why is there a fox messing with a little kid? Where are her parents? Like,
You were a very mature child.
I would do the same thing, but of different shows, like because I had different
Yeah.
shows. But maybe part of that was watching PBS because PBS shows explained everything, and I liked that. Like my favorite part of Mr. Rogers was when they would go to like a factory and watch something being made, like crayons or whatever. Like you would learn how things are made. So maybe that's why I just questioned everything. Like, okay, we saw how this happened, so why can't we see how this happens?
Oh yeah, even like Sesame Street, when I remember, that there's kind of an explanation to everything. Like everybody lives on Sesame Street. It's a real place. You just have to find it. Well, that's not explained. Like the directions are explained. But other than that, it feels like quote unquote a real place. So yeah, that it makes sense. And then you got like shows on the opposite side of the spectrum. Like I grew up with Out of the Box, which is literally two adults and a bunch of kids make a clubhouse out of boxes, which is amazing. I love it. But when they go inside, it's actually like a set. It doesn't match with the outside. And then also, like, why are these two adults with these kids all the time? It's never explained. Stuff like that. Yeah, kid shows definitely are a spectrum.
Definitely.
Perhaps it's best left untold what happens to Toodles and the Handy Helpers.
We probably don't want to.
They're taking a nap. Just don't question what happens if Mickey doesn't
Oh, yeah.
come back. So, Mickey in Wonderland is a lot less Wonderland than I expected,
Yeah.
but also they had more references than I expected. Like, not a ton, but like little things here and there that I was like, oh, okay.
It's not the best. Obviously, this is a inspired by Alice Wonderland thing than actual adaptation. I can appreciate that they wanted to do their own thing with it. That said, though, I'm not really a fan of this version of it. But there were some neat ideas.
Yeah, I felt like story-wise they could have done more to be closer, even though they were doing their own thing, but I felt like they didn't go far enough with the story itself.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Carmen? And how did you remember this episode from when you were a kid?
When Jonathan initially mentioned it to me, I didn't, and then I watched it, and I was like, the minute tick tock, we have to fix the cuckoo clock hit, I had flashbacks. Like, I was like, yeah, okay. And then I'm like, oh, then we're gonna get chipmunks singing with like weird hats, and then I'm like, oh, doesn't Pete like, isn't he like the cat or whatever? Yeah, so it started rushing back to me. I don't think this was a favorite of mine as a kid, just because I didn't initially remember it. Because a lot of these other episodes that I was scrolling through on Disney Plus, I was like, yeah, I remember that, I remember that. But like this one, not so much, but it must have aired at a certain point if I had access to it, because I didn't. To my knowledge, I didn't own any of the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse DVDs or any DVD that had like an episode of it on it.
Yeah, because I think this is a special.
Yeah, it was fine. I did end up multitasking during it a little bit because it felt a little bit repetitive. Like it felt like they were checking off the like the boxes for like things you need to do to make this like Wonderland themed. I don't know. It
Yeah,
was.
ironically, for an episode about time, it is certainly time freezes when you watch this one. I had to multitask too. No judging.
I don't know, the songs weren't super catchy except for the cuckoo clock one where they walk down the street with their arms out. Like that just brought back so many vivid memories. I was like, oh my God. I don't know. And then of course it's a surprise birthday gift for Daisy. Of course, they can't make a special without making it a surprise birthday as well.
Weird. It's an episode about Daisy's birthday party, but Daisy's barely in it.
That's
Yeah.
true. That's true.
Not even it doesn't even have a Wonderland equivalent like everyone else does.
Yeah.
Or are they in Wonderland?
I don't really know.
I totally expected some like actual character from the Alice in Wonderland like series to pop up, but none of them did. So I was like, interesting.
For some reason, I was thinking that there would actually be a Cheshire Cat. I don't know why I thought that. But then it was just Pete, who called himself Pete the Cat, and there's already
Yeah.
a children's book character named Pete the Cat. So I was like, is this copyright infringement?
I think that was before Pete the Cat was a thing.
Oh, was
I
it?
think.
Okay.
Well, this is 2009. I don't know when Pete the Cat came out. Like, check it up. I don't remember it being a thing at the time.
I don't know why there wasn't like one character from Alice in Wonderland in this.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, it's Disney, so like you would think there would be like one thing in it that you could point to and be like, yeah, that's someone from Alice in Wonderland.
So just Pete the Cat, the book came out 2008, so probably when they were producing this episode was around that same time it came out.
It probably is
But
just
yeah,
one of those
lucky
things that it's a kind of a
coincidence.
coincidence.
Yeah, I think personally I would give them the free pass on this.
And Pete is a cat anyway, so I think
He is
it's
a
just
cat.
the fact that he called himself Pete the Cat, which he never does, was the thing that made it stand out.
I think they had him do that because people forget Pete is a cat because his ears are small. Yeah,
That's true. I never knew what he was when I was a
even
kid.
I had a moment where I was like, oh
Yeah.
yeah, he is a cat.
I thought for the longest time as a kid he was like a pit bull, you know? But
Really? That was
yeah,
interesting.
because like of the short ears and like sometimes pit bulls have like short ears like that, or like a Doberman or something, or a bulldog. Like I just thought he was like one of those like strong type of dogs until like I saw him in like other forms of media where he was like referred to as like a cat, so I had to learn.
Yeah, I just thought he was a I thought he was a bear when I was a kid. Like,
Well, he started as a bear before he
yeah,
morphed into the cat.
it's the big frame that makes me think bear.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they had named him Tom to be like a tomcat to justify how big he was, I think I would have pieced it together as a kid, but Pete probably threw me off.
Well, he was like originally Pete the Bear, so that makes sense that his name doesn't really feel cat-like.
Yeah.
Well, like we said, the point is that it's Daisy's birthday. They're throwing her a birthday party. And they have a scene where Donald and Mickey are fighting over this present for her, which is a cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
And like Donald is angry because he wants to see this bird again. And he's like shaking the clock and screaming at us like, this is peak Donald behavior.
I was like, this is more toddler than Donald. Like he doesn't
Yeah.
get
That's kind
this.
of true.
Yeah.
But Donald, like, he hasn't acted fully as the crazed Donald that you kind of expect in this show. So this felt more closer to what you would expect from Angry Donald than stuff we'd gotten before, or at least the ones that I've seen. Like, I haven't watched the whole show. I just, the episodes that I had watched.
He was definitely, he definitely felt more like his character overall in this episode than normal. But that said, I would say it feels like a toddler version of his
Kind
character.
of, yeah.
Yeah.
But Mickey's trying to save the clock from him and they're fighting over it. It gets launched into the air, it breaks, and then the cuckoo escapes out of the clock, so they have to catch it.
The cuckoo bird is sentient and
It's,
they want to
everything is
travel to
sentient in this show.
They are the bad guys. Okay.
Actually, if you look at it that way, you kind of are. They're trying to enslave
Yes,
this
they're
tiny bird.
imprisoning a sentient bird. Like, that's exactly what I was thinking of. I'm like, he wants to be free. Don't stuff him in a clock.
Let him go.
Yeah. Get a different clock. There's so many,
Yeah.
but not
Also,
real birds, Donald.
I believe a cuckoo clock is a horrible present. Cuckoo clock should only be bought by people who have knowledge of how to take care of them and the cuckoos inside. No,
Yeah.
I'm joking about that part, but no, really, like it's not a good present because they're so noisy.
Yeah, well,
So
they do take care because they won't work after a while. They have to be kept up. Like you have to wind
oh
them and
yes.
keep them clean. And we used to have one, and I think I don't know if my parents got sick of caring for it or what. We don't have it anymore. I don't know where it went. Actually,
I
maybe
don't
my
know.
brother broke it.
I don't know.
It might have
I
fallen.
mean,
I don't remember.
they're fun, but they're very noisy. You really have to want one.
I don't know, like, how Donald looked at Daisy and was like, yeah, Daisy's gonna want a cuckoo clock.
I thought that too. I was like, why is this the present you're buying for Daisy?
Because the plot, they have to go to
Yeah, I
Wonderland.
guess so. I feel like there's easier ways to get them to Wonderland.
Like, I've been alive for so many years. I've had so many birthdays that I had to celebrate for Daisy. I don't have a lot of options anymore.
Yeah. You're running out.
Yeah.
Daisy's like 75. She's got everything.
We're never gonna die. So, maybe when do you get the duck that has everything? A cuckoo clock. She definitely doesn't have one of those. I think the real Daisy would not like this gift.
No. If you gave this clock to Daisy in like the Paul Rudish cartoons, she would be furious.
Yeah.
That thing would be launched and smashed.
Yeah. She'd be like, anything else? What about a new bow? Like new shoes or, yeah. But this is the clubhouse Daisy. She's nicer and she likes cuckoo clocks. So there we go. So it's a great present. I'm sure she loves taking care of cuckoo birds. Though, can I
Hopefully.
just say, okay, so after the fight, Donald and Mickey have, or the kerfuffle over the clock, and the clock says the cuckoo to bird leave. I wrote, Donald says, look what you made me do. And I don't know why, I was just like, wow, it's kind of toxic, Donald. Going all Taylor Swift on us. But this would have been before that. But still, I find that interesting. This is kind of a tangent, so I'm sorry. But I find it interesting looking back at children's shows, kind of with the knowledge of adult being adult and having engaged with other adults, some of who are not emotionally healthy and can engage in toxic behaviors, how shows for children handle that kind of stuff. And like recently I was rewatching Sophia the First, and there was an episode called Stormy Lonnie that I really did not like how they handled basically this child having temper tantrums and the main character essentially putting it on the main character to help her. And I was like, I really don't think this is a healthy thing for children. But so it's funny watching children's shows and like be on the lookout for like phrases like that and just being like, ooh. Okay. Here it's a joke quite often. Donald is meant to be, not the role model. But I don't think that's ever really addressed that he I guess it's kind of addressed later because Mickey tells him he needs to be more patient and everything. But like the things he does, he kind of gets a pass on this episode. I don't know. I'm probably holding it to too high of a standard for what it's meant to do. But probably for that alone, I don't think I would show this to my kids.
I agree. I thought Donald was annoying in this episode too, because like that scene with like Goofy and his chocolate milk, and Donald's like messes everything up by leaping at the cuckoo bird really frustrated me, because I'm like, Donald, what have we learned? What have we learned? Mickey's been telling you since the episode started to be patient, which I find funny. Like there's no arc for Mickey. Mickey's just like good. Flat good in this episode. He is the saint, like telling Donald all of the life lessons, which Donald like does not pick up on.
Thing about Mickey is Mickey had a very rough start. He was just as bad as Donald when he was born, but like we stand Mickey because, and I say that a little ironically, but we stand him because he had character growth. It's not just because he was forced to become a company mascot. No, he grew up as a mouse. Unfortunately, Donald lacks that growth, and he tried. Mickey's trying really, really hard to help him.
Yeah.
to help all his friends, really. But yeah, it's this one does Donald really does kind of grate on you in this one, which is difficult because on one hand, this is not really a show meant for character interactions and growth. It's more meant to tell, do the call and response and to like learn about in this episode timekeeping, what an hour is and yada that kind of stuff versus actual interpersonal relationships. But yeah, this one just wears on you a lot because it takes Donald a little too long to learn his lesson.
Felt like the episode in general was too long, but that's because it was
I agree.
technically the length of two episodes, but they could have got it done in a half hour.
That is true. It feels like they stretched out what should have been a half-hour episode into almost an hour, and that doesn't help in this case, and it makes Donald way more annoying than he really should be. I think I probably wouldn't have found him so annoying if it was a normal episode length. But he makes the same mistake several times, and that's what gets on the nerves. So yeah, I agree with you, partner.
Yeah, the episode length surprised me because again, like once it was halfway in, I didn't see a point to why it needed to be double length except for the fact that this was Mickey in Wonderland. Because it did feel like after a certain amount of time that it was kind of the same thing happening where they just needed more information about the cuckoo bird. And here's an Alice in Wonderland reference with a Mickey character. Okay, so they're sent on their way and they gotta ask, Pete for a riddle, and then they're sent on their way. And I don't know, it gets a little repetitive. And I think they could have kept it the same length if it wasn't so repetitive to where it was just like, stop and ask someone, move on, stop and ask someone, move on,
Yeah, I'd argue most of these interactions didn't need to happen in terms of their story.
I think most of them were put in here because they wanted Wonderland references.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I think they met some of these characters, because they added nothing else to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really didn't. Heck, what is Minnie? What is she? Who is she? She's just
She
there.
knew them and they called her Minnie, so it was like the Minnie. But like,
Yeah,
why
and I'm
is
like,
she in
wait,
this
she's
magic
not.
place?
Yeah, she's not Wonderland Minnie. Because I did see. I watched a tiny little bit of the last episode on Disney Plus, just a tiny bit, and I saw that. Like for instance, Goofy refers to like Pete, who's acting as the Beast in the Beauty and the Beast thing, as Beast Pete. So I'm like, okay, they're able to acknowledge that they could see their friends again, but in like alternate dimensional versions of themselves. I'm fine with that. I don't care. That's fine. But in this one, I feel it's really confused, especially because Minnie here is, she doesn't seem to be a Wonderland character at all. And she's like, oh, hi, Mickey. I'll see you later. That's like, okay, so she's there. She's actually, why is she there?
Yeah, I thought she was going to be like the Queen of Hearts. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Because we'd seen other characters before this, and they were like Chip and Dale were Tweedlechip and Tweedledale. And
Yeah.
Professor Von Drake was supposed to, I think he was just a reference to the caterpillar. I don't think he was supposed to be a different character. I think he was Professor Von Drake.
I think he's the caterpillar, but Ludwig von Drake caterpillar. I think he is. I don't know.
I took him as just kind of a reference. But then we get to Minnie, and I was like, okay, well, she must be the Queen of Hearts because she's planting roses. But then they called her Minnie, and she knew who they were. So
Yeah.
it was strange.
And didn't they say they'd also say they'd see her later, so it's like,
Yeah, that too. That too. Yeah.
yeah, and I was like, okay, you guys are being really confusing right now. So I guess Minnie is not a character because she's real, unlike the others.
So did she
But
fall
also,
down the hole too, or what?
I guess.
Maybe this is where she goes, that when she walks into the woods.
Ah, yes, it's all coming together.
Did they not want Minnie to have a big role in this episode because she already was a big role in the wasn't there like Wizard of Oz inspired one?
That
Oh
is in
yeah.
the final season, so that would have been after this.
Okay, then I don't really get why Minnie couldn't be in it more. Or why she's not a character. I don't know, it's very weird. Minnie is a little shafted in this, I think.
I feel like it would have been better if they'd just done a straight Alice in Wonderland story, but had Minnie be the star. Just do
I
Minnie
would have loved
Wonderland.
that. I would have liked that a lot.
I don't know why it wasn't just that. Like it makes me
Yeah.
think like they couldn't put them in the episode, or they were just trying to be too unique and was like, well, we can do a Mickey spin on this, and then it just like didn't work.
But even then, it was the whole thing with Daisy's birthday.
It might be because Mickey has a connection to Alice Wonderland already and through the mirror, the cartoon short. So maybe they wanted to kind of go off that a bit more because he has a connection.
They didn't reference that short at all, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't justify why they wouldn't use Minnie. I can't justify why Donald's even here. Does he really need to be here? I don't know. The whole story of this special feels very off.
Yeah.
It feels weird. So I don't really get it. I don't know what they're trying to do here. It sounds like somebody just went, we need an episode about timekeeping. And they're like, oh, what's something that has to do with time? Alice in Wonderland. Oh, there's kind of a connection, Mickey Mouse and Alice already. So let's do that. And it's like, okay, I guess. So how do we feel about any of the other characters?
I mean, I liked Goofy. I thought that scene, made me like look back at the screen from whatever else I was doing. I don't know.
I
The
think Goofy was probably the
chipmunks.
best iteration of a Wonderland character in this. I'll say that.
The chipmunks kind of annoyed me.
Yeah, I agree.
He was okay, I guess. And
I thought it was weird that his underwear showed up first.
yeah, I was about to say that. I didn't like.
I found his outfit weird. Like,
Why
it
is he
was
wearing
like,
pajamas?
yeah, I just, he's
Yeah.
supposed to be the Cheshire Cat or whatever. It's been a long time since I've seen Alice in
Chester Cat.
Wonderland, but
Yeah.
yeah. Why is he not like striped or like on all fours for like this occasion or something? Like, why is he wearing like these weird pajamas?
It didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense like at all. And Goofy was the one that kind of made the most sense. And it was also like whenever they went into like the little tea party location, it looked nice. Like so much of this episode feels so bare, you know, like it doesn't look
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
Wonderland. It looks like a poorly made 3D game of Wonderland. But then
I
when you
mean, I
finally
don't
get to
expect
like,
them to remake the Disney Wonderland, but yeah, I agree. It looks
but
better.
like when you go into like the Goofy scene, like you finally feel like you're in Wonderland and that this Goofy is like a Wonderland character, not just Goofy.
The Goofy scene, that's where it finally started to feel like Wonderland. That's where the references started showing up, because the bird is in his hat. So Donald screams, "Off with your hat," which made me laugh. And then
That's good.
inside his hat is a puppy, a pig, and a frog, which I thought was clever, a clever nod to the book that there's no puppy, pig, or frog in the Disney Alice in Wonderland. But I thought it was a clever nod to the book anyway.
Yeah, those are all animals that show up in the book.
And then after they have their chocolate milk party or whatever, which.
I did think that was weird. I'm like, guys, you can't even do hot chocolate. Maybe they don't want kids dealing with hot liquids.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then they end up going to a place that's basically the chessboard from Through the Looking Glass,
Yeah.
which I thought was clever. Like hardly any version of Alice in Wonderland or Through the Looking Glass seems to fully reference that scene. And then they had Clarabelle Cow as the Queen of Hearts, except her motif is arrows instead of hearts, which I thought was kind of a clever thing with what they're doing here. A way to tie it into the story and do their own thing with it.
I guess. I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't like Clarabelle
I mean,
in
of all the characters, if somebody in this show is going to be the Queen of Hearts, it's got to be Clarabelle. Although she wasn't as nasty as you would expect her to be.
Yeah, I mean, well, Clarabelle's never nasty. I would love like a Mickey Mouse, an actual real Mickey Mouse Wonderland adaptation. But there's not really anybody mean enough to do the Queen of Hearts unless you made it Pete and made it like King Hearts or he's doing drag or something or whatever.
Now I want this. I want him as the
Yeah.
Queen of
Yeah.
Hearts. Not even the King of Hearts. Just make him the Queen of Hearts and don't explain
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, like that would be fun. They're not gonna do that in here though. That's too controversial. But I would love to see something more like that. Clarabelle is just not mean enough for the queen. But again, they weren't doing a mean queen thing. They were doing a weird clock game, and I don't know, I was very bored during it, to be honest. It was like, yeah, croquet clocks. It's funny because if anything, she should be saying something like "off with your hat," but she didn't. It was Donald earlier. Maybe they should have had Goofy come with them. But yeah, it's, I don't know. Well, I wasn't a fan of her.
I mean, by the time they reached the area or whatever, I just remember thinking, like, again, like, kind of how ugly the landscape was. Like, I just, yeah, I wasn't, it wasn't working for me. Like, nothing about, like, this episode besides, like, the clubhouse and the goofy tea party, like, really, like, was, like, pretty. And it's weird because I've watched, like, a lot of other episodes from throughout the seasons, and not once did I ever kind of stop and think, wow, this animation is just like ugly or it's not working for me. But during the Wonderland episode, there was just a ton of things about it that wasn't working. So when they introduced these like rolling hills with like this checkered pattern, I was like, yeah, no, like the it just doesn't look very pleasing to the eye. And I was just like, please just hurry up and get back to the clubhouse so my eyes will stop hurting at all of this checkered patterns all over the place.
I know that they did that because of Through the Looking Glass, but also why?
Yeah.
Like, why did they need to reference Through the Looking Glass? Like, yeah, Through the Looking Glass and Alice in Wonderland are usually kind of combined, but this specific scene is almost never used, and it added nothing to this version. It was just the like something that they could do. I mean, maybe it was because it was easy. Like they could easily put a checkerboard pattern on these hills that they already have.
Yeah.
Because this did feel
That's the
cheap.
thing. Yeah, I think a lot of that the show is, I'm sorry to put it down for people who love it. It is kind of cheap, especially with environments and stuff. So I think they were like, we could easily do these hills and we could put a checker pattern on it. So it wasn't even like, I don't know if somebody was like, I really want to reference Looking Glass. I don't know if that happened or not. I think it was just an easy thing that they could do. And they were like, oh, and
Probably.
that would reference Looking Glass. Or maybe they didn't even know it would reference Looking Glass. I don't know.
That could be true too. Maybe they just knew that, yeah, sometimes Wonderland has a checkerboard motif. Let's just put that on the hills. They
Yeah.
may not
I
have even been
will say,
referencing that scene.
there's another potential reference that maybe not, might not be a reference. It might just be an accident. So the way they get into Wonderland, we skipped this earlier, is through a slide, which actually is very fun. I don't care much for their slide scene. Like, I think it could look a little bit more fantastical. But I like the idea. But anyway, so when they come out, and also they kind of have a two-part rabbit hole. So it starts at the slide and then they go through like a clock, which actually I did like. I like falling through clocks. And they come out on the other side of the world, but essentially, you know, like upside down. And I thought that could have been a reference to when Alice is falling down the rabbit hole. She thinks, oh, what if I fall right through to the other side of the earth?
Oh, it could be.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's on purpose or if that was just kind of an accident.
We can be generous and say that somebody did it on purpose.
If the professor was like, yeah, I'm an antipathy when he's there, you know, then definitely a reference, but he didn't. So it's just kind of a maybe.
We didn't mention it too. They have the when they meet the professor, he gives them like sparkles to shrink, which I thought was weird. They should have just done a cake or a drink like in the book.
So I think what happened there was, I think it was supposed to be a play on, you know, how like mad scientists will invent shrink rays. I think this it was kind of like shrink sprays, but then I don't know,
Oh,
it ended
maybe.
up being sparkles. I'm very confused about what their thought process was, but I was like, but it looks like he's spraying though.
Yeah, I don't know. They're going for Wonderland. They really should have done an eat me cake
Yeah,
or a drink me bottle.
but my guess is they didn't want kids to potentially eat or drink things they don't know. Maybe.
I suppose, but if you're gonna go if
Maybe.
you're gonna go with that, then don't show the characters jumping into a cavern. Otherwise, kids might go up somewhere and see a hole and like, oh, let's jump in and see where we land.
I mean, that's just like
Yeah.
the word there, so I'm not helping them.
I mean, you have to wonder how much thought they're putting into like their Wonderland references. Like, They could have just looked up a list of the characters. Like, I Sparkles was probably the easiest thing for them to just put in there. I mean, and it kind of, I guess, makes sense because there's a lot of sparkles throughout the show. Like, they use sparkles to circle things. They're like, if Mickey will point towards something, it'll use a circle of sparkles to like circle it so kids know which one is like the correct thing he was looking at. And then they also, of course, use sparkles to show the clubhouse rising out of the ground and then going back into it. So I guess it like fits.
So you think it's just like an aspect that was already there, that an asset they already used beforehand.
Yeah.
That
And
makes sense.
I think it just fits with everything else that they got going on with the clubhouse and magic and stuff.
Yeah, I could just see that they decided just to go with what they already had instead of potentially introducing eating foreign foods and objects. And then again, Goofy does give them chocolate milk. So the professor could have given them something to drink or eat. Or maybe like they didn't want to repeat like a theme of eating or drinking something. I don't know.
They're trying to teach kids trust Goofy over an old professor offering you something. I
Mean, fair enough. There is risk when an eccentric, dotty scientist person offers you something to eat or drink.
Exactly. Goofy would never do that.
Goofy legitimately likes chocolatey milk. But then again, I don't think you should trust Goofy. I don't know if I'd trust Goofy with something he'd give me to eat or drink either. So, not for maliciousness, I just don't know if he'd goof it up.
Well, anyways, what I was going to say with them getting shrunk, my favorite scene of the whole thing, not even part of the story, just the scene of them seeing Toodles flying over them. I was like, this is like the preschool equivalent of the scene from Independence Day with the giant spaceship.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good.
I loved that. And then they grew right after that, so there was no more chances for them to be tiny around giant things.
There was also, speaking of Toodles, he sported a pretty cool Mad Hatter hat during the Mad Tea Party. And I liked
He
that.
did.
He's like, that's good. Pat Pat show. Good job.
He did one thing right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd say everything else is wrong necessarily. I liked Goofy Hatter, but other than those two things, I'm not like super fond of this one.
Yeah. No, this wasn't like awful or anything. I've seen much worse
Yeah.
versions of Alice in Wonderland, but
Yeah.
it didn't live up to the potential of what I thought it was going to do. It was just they chose a strange story, having Daisy having a surprise birthday party, and they've got to get part of her present back for her, which has nothing to do with Alice in Wonderland. And really, the whole story was just kind of a vehicle for a few Wonderland references, some of which were clever and deeper cuts than I expected. Like, I was not expecting a puppy, a pig, and a frog reference in a show
Yeah.
like this. But that's kind of as far as it went, just some character references. They didn't really try and tell the story of Alice in Wonderland. They just sort of had a weird Wonderland-esque adventure.
And even some of these references, I would argue that I don't even know if I don't know if I could be convinced they're done on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange feel. Oh, may I introduce a random tidbit? So this came out like right before or after Wayne Allwine died as Mickey. He's the voice, I mean, he's the voice actor. He was the voice actor of Mickey, so he was the voice actor in this. And yeah, it's been so long since I've heard his voice, like coming back into this, like it kind of like triggered like memories and also like weirdly sounded wrong. And I was like, oh no, why does it sound wrong? I'm used to the new voice now, I guess. But I like Wayne better, so it was nice. Are you guys invested into the voice actor of Mickey?
I didn't think too much of it other than to notice that the voice at the beginning when I watched the first one was different than the voice at the end. And then I remembered,
Yeah.
oh yeah, this was probably before, not the original voice of Mickey, but the Mickey of that era. That was before he died, so that's why the voices were different. But I didn't really think much
Yeah.
beyond that.
I when I jumped to I went from season one, episode one, to the Toodles birthday episode, and I noticed a pretty big difference between the Mickey voices, but it's like it kind of wears off that it's different after you like watch the complete episode.
Yeah. Did you, as a kid, notice the change or nah?
Not that I can remember, because
Mm.
I don't think that was
They are
something
really
I
close.
was,
Yeah.
they were so close to where like I didn't notice, because like a lot of kids shows do that where like you watch them for so long the voice actors kind of change, and that was like I grew up and then I like learned, oh, they changed, and I had like no idea. It's like as a kid you're not listening for that.
Yeah.
I'm listening for Toodles lore.
Yeah.
But I did want to say I kind of agree that this was a strange episode. I think it could have, like, when I was watching the other Mickey Mouse episodes, like I had fun with them. Like, even I think the one I liked the least was like the episode one of season one, the like one where Daisy loses the sheep, just because it was a little slower paced than some of the future episodes. But it still like kept my attention for the most part, and I thought it was fun. Like, this is definitely something I would show to a kid because like it's still fun and it holds up. The Wonderland one, I didn't have like as much fun with, so
There's just so much potential in the idea that it
yeah.
ends up being short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even in terms of the show, it's just not as good of a. Like the Happy Birthday Toodles one was a better episode than this.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not the strongest example for this show, I think.
Yeah, no, I think my expectations were too high. Like, I don't know how high expectations I had for the show in general. I kind of thought that I would be bored. And the fact that I wasn't really bored when I was watching it, like I was a little bit bored, but only when they were like repeating things and like I was multitasking too, like taking notes and everything. Normally, when I'm watching something and taking notes, I will pause the thing to take notes. And I didn't with this, so I just let it kept playing. But I never felt like, oh, I want this to be over so bad. Because I've had that with other things. Like, I cannot wait for this to end. And I didn't feel that with this. But I will say that the Wonderland episode, which I expected to be the best, was the most boring, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Especially, I don't know if you've seen Abby in Wonderland yet.
Not yet.
Well, compared to, okay, so Abby in Wonderland is essentially probably what you were expecting, but from, like from Sesame Street.
Yeah.
So that one was so good. And then, like in terms of children's shows, this one really falls short of the line and is a bit disappointing. But it's also like inoffensive. Like, I can't say I hate it. I can't even say it was fully boring. It has a weird kind of flavorless vibe to it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's the show at its best. Like, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is at its best when it has all of the characters together in the clubhouse and they're exploring like the weird things that this place can do, and it didn't work. Like, I think maybe they didn't have like the creative team for it that could brainstorm the best ideas to take advantage of like a Wonderland setting, because it's like chances are they were too used to the clubhouse setting.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be interesting to see a production like what happened here.
Yeah.
Hopefully 2.0, if they revisit Wonderland again, they'll do it better, but who knows?
Yeah, I noticed when I went to Disney Plus to look this up, there's actually several Mickey shows that look similar to this. There was like Mickey and Me, and then there are Minnie's Bow Toons.
They're
There
not
was
as
like one
good.
other one. I think you've mentioned Roadster Racers as one.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
was the spinoff. There was also another one, but I can't remember.
I remember Roadster Racers because I have a younger brother. And so when we were starting to phase out of like Disney Junior being on the TV, but we saw an ad for Roadsters. And I remember in Clubhouse, they did have some episodes where Mickey and friends would like race like go-karts or whatever, like Mario Kart kind of stuff. And I think they took those episodes premises and they just spun them into a whole different show. But at that point, like I think it said on Disney Plus it was like a 2017 series. So I would have been 14 and kind of well out of tuning into that sort of stuff. But I do remember the advertisements, and I want to say I even caught an episode or two, but I don't know. I was 14, so I needless to say I was like, nah, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is still better than this.
I didn't even try it because I was like, this sounds like a stupid premise and I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't make much sense. Like, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse made sense. Like, Clubhouse for all of Mickey and friends. I don't know what the lessons behind them racing cars that really like high speeds are gonna
To
teach me,
me, it
but
sounds like somebody at the Disney office, one of the suits is like, we need to capture more of the boys' market. What do boys like? Cars. Put Mickey in a car.
unicorn, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, was thinking about it. Shortly after that was Minnie Bo Toons, right? So,
Yes. Now,
I'm assuming that was the girl equivalent, and this was supposed to be the boy one.
I will say Minnie Bo Toons. Minnie Bo Toons are only like less than 10 minutes long. Like, they're not like full episodes, and they would air after Mickey Mouse Clubhouse episodes. So I would stay through the credits or whatever of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse so that I could watch the like 6 to 7 minute like Mickey or Minnie like Bo Toons episode.
Oh, so that's not a new show?
No, it's not. Unless they
Oh.
rebooted it. Let me go to Disney Plus. The original one that I'm speaking of is not new.
Okay.
No, I don't remember the year. To be honest, all I really know from Minnie's Bow Toons is I collect the Disney playset figurines from the Disney store, and I bought the Minnie Bow Toons one. I never watched it. But I was like, it has her nieces. I need the nieces.
They're 5 minute episodes, and it looks like they started in 2011. So yeah, I would have been eight, so at that right audience for it.
Okay. I just thought it was a new show that was like a spin-off.
No, but I guess they did I
I
don't
mean, it's
know,
kind
Dukes
of
Roadster
a
Racers.
spin-off in a mini kind of way.
Yeah, I it was made to like go after Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, because this also only went until 2013. So as soon as Clubhouse was finished, they didn't do any more Bow Tunes.
It looks like they just revived the series, though. So they brought it
They
back.
did? Is it on Disney Plus?
I'm on Wikipedia right now.
Oh.
So it looks like there have been 8 seasons so far.
Oh, they
And
did. Why would they do this?
that there was, it looks like they might have split up the last, they had 3 seasons of 10 episodes that went from 2011 to 2014. And then there was 7 episodes in 2014, 3 episodes in 2016, and then nothing until 2021, which they brought it back, and now there have been 20 episodes each year since.
That is
Oh,
so
okay, I didn't know
weird.
that.
Because I'm on
Minnie
Disney
Bluetooth
Plus.
Party Palace Pals?
On
Yeah.
Disney Plus, it's not here. It's only
Huh.
the original.
It's weird. Oh, kind of weird tidbit. I remember this in the figurine set. I haven't seen the show, but there's like a yellow little bird. And yeah, apparently it is called Cuckoo Loca. They like their
Oh,
cuckoo.
yes. And I'm pretty sure she talks too. And she has
Yeah.
like a sassy voice or something.
It all ties back. We got a cuckoo in Wonderland, we got a cuckoo in the show.
Guess so. I don't know why they would like the perfect thing about Minnie's Bow Tunes was that they would advertise to you that if you stuck around after the credits of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, you would get a bonus 5 minutes of Minnie in her bow store, and like they would kind of tease you where to like, oh, it's only 5 minutes, so like you'll have to watch the next episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse to catch what happens next in Minnie's like Bow Tunes. So it was like a they're keeping you hooked for longer, like a 2-for-1 deal. So I don't know why they would like continue it, because it's like as a kid, it's like you wanted your parents to let you sit through the credits so you can watch the Minnie's Bow Tunes that would come after it. So it's like, why would you make it a full thing? That was kind of what was special about it.
Don't know. It sounds like being a full thing is okay to me, but I don't have the experience.
I would like change the title, because I think it's a little confusing to have the same title, like make it
Well, each season
something
has had a different
different.
title. It's
Oh, okay.
Minnie's Bow Tunes : Party Palace Pals. And then the most recent one was Camp Mini. So maybe they're on Disney Plus, but under the extra name, like Botoons : something else.
Well, surely if we just look at Minnie Mouse, yeah, they it comes up if you look at Minnie Mouse. There's like a bunch of different
Oh,
Minnie.
yeah, now I see it. That's
So it doesn't seem
interesting.
like it's all of it.
The one I'm looking at also looks like it's 5-minute episodes. So this also must air after the something. Or
Maybe.
they air in succession, like one after the other.
Yeah.
It probably does, yeah, because of the length of the episodes and the fact that Disney Channel, as far as I know, does not do commercials. So this probably fills in the gap that is left by what would have been commercials.
Oh, they do commercials, but for themselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
It's
they don't
kind of
have as many
beautiful.
commercials as other channels do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't try and sell you juice and Hot Wheels and
What's
Barbies
Mickey
and
Mouse
everything.
Funhouse?
I'll be interested to see what they do with the reboot of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Well, I didn't realize. So there's on Disney Plus, there's something called Mickey Mouse Funhouse, and it's 2021 to 2022, and I was like, I didn't realize they had such a spinoff so recently. One of the thumbnails shows Mortimer Mouse. I didn't know Mortimer was in this. Anyway, so there's a whole rabbit hole you could go down of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse trivia.
Well, I kind of doubt I'll do another episode like this. It was just kind of a one-off thing. I don't know how much
Yeah,
I want to
we
really
gotta
get
watch
into
all of, oh, we gotta
that.
watch all of Minnie's Bowtoons now and do a podcast.
Well, now I want to watch Funhouse, but some of this actually looks kind of interesting.
I see. Now that I'm looking at it, I've definitely seen this before, but I literally thought it was fake at first because of the face on the house. I'm like,
Well, they put a face on a clock
what?
and made it a character. So put a face on the house and now it's a
No,
caricature.
don't do toodles like that.
And
There's like another house apparently in Mickey's Mixed Up Adventures. He has a lot of houses.
how is he doing that in
he's
this
the face of a
economy?
giant
He's
corporation. He has
invested
Aldani.
property. Like, anyway, I don't know if I have anything else to add to this besides, like, wow, Mickey has investments.
Can that be his next series for like teenagers, like Mickey's like real estate investments?
I mean, I would watch that because that sounds bizarre.
That would be bizarre and funny considering that he Disney instant to theme parks and story living stuff. They're, oh my God, it's all coming together.
Yes. Oh my God. If they made a series about how to buy a house just to promote their own like story living community, that would be like, that would be so funny, but like also a little bit concerning.
So funny, but so dystopian.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, really.
Okay, well, this is probably as good a place as any to end this episode.
Yeah.
Before I brainstorm ha Mickey's Guide to Do Taxes. If public school isn't going to teach us how to do taxes, because it didn't, I paid for a service to do my taxes. I don't know how to do them. I
Mickey's
think they
Guide
should
to Tax
create, like,
Evasion.
yes, Mickey's Guide to Tax Evasion. Like, if they put as much effort into educating like young adults as they do children, more people would know how to pay taxes and buy houses.
Know, yeah,
Bet you're
that would be
right.
nice. Yeah.
I would sit down and watch a 20-episode season of Mickey explaining like rent
Adult
and
things.
down
Yeah.
payments.
Disney curriculum.
Maybe okay, maybe Donald's will like teach like the bad things, like how to steal a car. Okay.
I'll go pitch this to Disney as soon as I graduate.
Actually, if they were to do like teaching bad things, I would want, oh, what's his name from DuckTales? The angry Scottish duck.
Oh, I don't remember his name.
Oh, Glomgold.
Yes, Glomgold. I want him to teach all
That
the
would be, never mind,
bad
that would be amazing. Glomgold
things.
teaches tax evasion.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
I loved him.
Glomgold teaches corporate takeovers, stuff like that.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, before we go down another weird rabbit hole, until the next time, do you guys want to let people know where they can find you if they want more from you, Jenna?
I'm Jenna, and you can find me as Phantom Wise on YouTube or Love Gift of a Fairy Tale also on YouTube.
And Carmen.
You can find me on Instagram under at Kiki Doodles, the name Pikachu Cat, and I post my photography, art, and lots of rants on my stories.
Okay, well, until next time. Thanks for listening to the Disney Movie Marathon. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and follow my co-hosts as well. My link tree and all of our links will be in the description below. If you want more of my content, all my podcasts are available on YouTube as well as most podcast platforms. If you enjoyed this show, check out one of the other podcasts or check out my Patreon for bonus and extended episodes you won't find anywhere else. We'll be back soon with another brand new episode, so thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.